What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
What I admire about Kevin is how hungry he is for this job, right? He's went through different coordinators here. And now it's his turn, and he is so hungry for this job. Like, when I get here in the morning, he's here. When I leave at night, he's still here. I don't make him do a time clock or anything, but I imagine he might be winning in that aspect. But he's so hungry for the job that, you know, the things that he's studied and the new wrinkles that he's put in, I've really admired how hungry he is. And that's what you want from your players. That's what you want from your staff.
What's your favorite moment of the Petullo era that you're going to remember forever?
What do you mean?
Your favorite moment of the Petullo era?
I got one.
Is it
it's the arm bar.
The Bash Brothers up in Buffalo.
I mean,
wow. So good.
Y'all mean. Y'all mean.
I defended the guy for a whole day yesterday instead of being too hard on him. I mean, I did.
Joe, I defended him for a whole day. It's crazy.
Did I not?
Yeah, a whole 4 hours.
I gave him a whole 4 hours yesterday of saying he wasn't that bad. It wasn't all his fault.
You're such a warrior.
Man, I tell you.
I mean, it wasn't easy. It was heavy lifting yesterday. Everyone wanted his head on a stick. My goodness.
No, I had a whole lot of thoughts, man. When like, the letter came out, and it was almost like, for Coach Sirianni, you know how when you're young, and, you know, you try to, like, you have your friends come over, and you'd be like, you're trying to have a sleepover.
Yeah.
And mom tell you, hey, you can have no sleepover. You better tell little Johnny he better take his butt home because he can't spend the night. Not tonight because we got stuff to do. So that was like Jeffrey Lurie was the dad, right? Nick Sirianni was the kid that had to go tell little Johnny he had to go home.
Tell him.
Hey, you can't stay. My dad says you can't spend the night.
You got to go.
Sorry, Kev. It's over, man.
I know. Listen. Being fired is rough, man. Being fired is rough. And then
you think Kevin wore a suit?
He probably see that wasn't right. That wasn't right. But going to social media and seeing how everybody was happy that this man lost his job. This man just lost his job. He's gonna be all right though. I mean, it ain't like he's gonna land on his feet.
And he might stay here. They haven't said if he's gone. He's just not the coordinator anymore. Now, if I was him, I'd probably try to find a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah.
maybe best
there's
for everyone.
There's more room for growth here.
I mean, if you like, there's a lot at play here. Now, if you feel like you've been thrown under the bus, like, you know, Richard Sherman said that, you know, he's talking to Fitzpatrick, and he was like, it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. How you work with Jalen on a daily basis?
Well, that makes it hard. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, knowing that, like, and I don't know people, I don't know the inner workings of the building. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm recklessly speculating. That's what I do from 10 to 2. But Jalen had a hand, in my opinion, in this firing.
Of course. So, and if he played better, the guy would be here. Yeah.
So every day that I go to work, I'm going to probably want to swing on Jalen.
Well, you can't do that.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, man. Kyle,
he's got to just take it one.
Yeah, always.
My thing is this.
Okay, how would you feel if, say, for instance, I go behind your back and tell Rod, I don't like Kyle. I don't want him on the show anymore. And you know it was me that was doing it, but you're still here every day in the building. You don't want to swing on me?
I would swing on you.
See,
without hesitation.
About. That's what I'm talking about. And you would be well within your rights to swing on me to do because that's not cool. It's not cool. So he probably needs to move on and write a book.
I think so.
And then tell everything.
Well,
that
just wait for the leaks this offseason. We're probably going to find those. One quick thing, then we'll get to your phone calls. And I do have my list here. Five names, top of my list for offensive coordinator for the Eagles in 2026. I have a request when the Eagles introduce their next coordinator. Because when Sirianni introduced Kevin Petullo there, I think he said the word hungry five times.
Yeah.
Okay, can I hear innovative, smart, brilliant?
I get hungry.
You see, yeah. Look at your semantics.
I just would like, why did you hire this person? Because he's really smart. He's ahead of the curve. Innovate, whatever. I mean, you know the words I'm thinking. Like,
hungry dogs run faster.
That's wonderful. Hunger doesn't mean brilliance. Hunger means you want some. And I admire people that want to achieve. That's great. That's part of being great. But also there should be some sort of prerequisite of excellence or smarts or acumen. I could use those words would be nice. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
Joe Gilio, what's the dealio?
Chuck.
What up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I just want to say this, right? I'm mad at Jalen Hurts, man. I'm pretty mad at him right now. You know, because I sit back and I watch the game yesterday. I watch it over again, right? And I'm going to get to the point, the topic in hand. But I always thought that Jalen, you know, I admire from afar his relentless pursuit of greatness. You know, the ability to outwork the next guy. And I didn't see that. I didn't think he left everything on the field, man. I watched Josh Allen. That's a guy that left everything on the field. That cat left everything on the field. And that's why they advanced into the second round. I think if he would have left an ounce more on the field, he would be moving on to face Chicago. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, I just can't get with that, man. I don't know what that was this year, but I can't get with that. But to get to the nitty-gritty of what the conversation is, right, you know, I believe that, you know, and I heard Kyle earlier, and I'm not saying I disagree with Kyle or agree with Kyle. I heard him, and I'm just going to say this. As long as Howie Roseman's here and as long as Jeffrey Lurie's our owner, I ain't worried about this window closing at all. You know what I mean? You know, it's, the window's closed and it's been reopened and it's closed again and it's been reopened again. You know what I mean? I know those guys know how to build a winner, and I'm confident in that. But I'm going to say this. The easiest way to get this thing back on track and to actually navigate this window to stand open is to move on both from the offensive coordinator, which they did yesterday. I didn't like it, but they did that yesterday, and to move on from the quarterback. And the reason why I say that is not that I dislike Jalen or whatever the case may be. I really don't like him as a quarterback, but that's not the case. What I'm saying is the money's going to play a factor at some point. And when you look around at the league, you know, you see Drake May, you see Caleb Williams, you see, you know, what's the other guy, Bo Nix. You know, those guys are getting paid at a cheap rate, and they're able to, you know, build around those guys and keep a team, you know, that's you know, defense, you know, whatever the case may be, skilled players around these guys. But the money's going to have to play a point. You know, we got to sign Jalen, you got to sign Jalen Carter, you got to sign a lot of plethora of defensive players, you know, the two all-pros in the secondary, and that money's going to have to be allocated that way. $50 million is taking up a lot of cap, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to having to sign other people. So in order for us to keep this window open, you know, and I know they're not going to do it, you know, I would have moved on from, you know, Kevin Petula, bring a new offensive coordinator and bring in a new quarterback, because who's to say that next year, you know, everybody wants Jalen to run more, but he's going to be up for a contract next year. And if he ain't run this year, what makes you think he's going to run on a contract yet? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm just putting two and two together here, and I'm just thinking of ways to keep our window open to win championships. I think we can bring in a young guy that gives you just as good a play in a new guy system and have this defense still intact and keep this window open for more championships to come. As long as Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie's running the show, I think that we still can keep this window open.
Well, Chuck, I agree with your overall point. I mean, I don't think it's going to close anytime soon. And with Howie here, and good phone call. I mean, if I had to guess the next few months, I think they're going to do both things Chuck's talking about. I think they're going to bring in a coordinator, right? Obviously, they're bringing a coordinator. But I don't think Jalen's going to be gone from the team. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback week one. But I also, if I had to predict right now the next few months of Eagles football, they're going to draft a quarterback somewhere high-ish in the draft. I don't think it's going to be the first round, but it could be the second or third. And that means, that doesn't mean, it have to mean anything for Jalen's future, right? If Jalen plays great football, he's the quarterback. But like, if he doesn't, they have a hedge. I mean, I anticipate they're going to hedge on the quarterback position.
I think there's such thing as called lighting a fire under somebody. And no better way to light a fire than to go get somebody, don't go draft your replacement.
2014, the Patriots did it to Tom Brady. They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. And guess what happened? Tom Brady went on to win how many more Super Bowls with New England? Like, it did light a fire under Tom Brady.
And see, here's the thing. It's not so much that it's, well, it is to light a fire under Jalen, but it's also to make sure that this train doesn't stop.
Of course.
This relevant train doesn't stop.
Yes.
Just like when Carson Wentz, what was he in his fifth year, something like that?
He was drafted in 16. He was going into his fifth year when they drafted Jalen.
I mean, that's kind of what you do, because you want a quarterback in the system that is going to carry you to the next, 10, 15 years or whatever. Mm. But here's the problem. I haven't looked at the draft, but I don't think this is a good year for quarterbacks.
Comparatively so, probably not to some other years.
When you talk about the one, I know the quarterback from Indiana, and then it's the
he's going number one.
Then it's the Oregon quarterback, right? Yeah. The Oregon kid. So they're like, when you talk about some of the this is not a good quarterback class if you're looking to draft a quarterback, huh?
Trinidad
Chambliss from Ole Miss.
I like that kid. Yeah, but I'm with you, and I wouldn't be opposed if they used a day two pick on a quarterback.
But they've had success with that.
But I know you guys are talking about best case scenario where you get Tom Brady or even Jalen Hurts. We got lucky that Hurts turned out to be as good as he was.
Of course. You look at the NFL playoffs this year. Was Hurts the only non-first round pick quarterback? He may have been.
Yeah.
They're all high picks.
Burrow, Tua, Herbert, right?
They're all. I'm missing one, but I think most were, if not all, were other than Hurts. And Purdy, excuse me.
The window's open right now, but life comes at you fast, man. You open up this can of worms with a new OC who does an entirely new offense, and we could be left with. We could all of a sudden go from thinking we have two quarterbacks, we draft a guy, to having zero,
right?
Instantly, and then the window is. You'll be lucky if it's even crap.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Act open at that point.
I get it. And I understand everyone out there that wants to find the coordinator just for Jalen Hurts. I'm putting myself out there that I don't know. I don't know what his next 3 years look like physically as a player. So if Jalen was 25, 24, then you kind of anticipate, he's going to obviously be here for the next 3 or 4 years. So I got to do everything to accentuate whatever his skill set is. Yeah. I'm not sure what his next 3 years look like. So I can't hitch my wagon to someone who's just here for him.
Well, it's going to come down to him because we're at this inflection point now where we either get, remember Russell Wilson's first few years when he won the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
The formula was kind of what this formula was.
Yes.
Run the ball, play great defense, Russell Wilson, don't lose the game. Then you saw Russell Wilson turn into that guy, develop into a player that you're like, wow, that's an elite, pocket pass quarterback.
30 plus touchdowns in seasons, yeah.
So is Hurts going to go that way? Or does he go the way of Cam Newton?
I think that's right. When is the decline coming? Has it begun? Or do we have a nice 3 or 4 year window where it's more Russell Wilson, as Kyle said, which is obviously very productive and you can win a lot of football games? Or is it like the Cam thing where it's going to end quick? I don't know. 215-592-9494. Let's take a phone call, and then I have my list. Five names that are standing out to me as the potential next Eagles offensive coordinator. Josiah in Warrington. Hey, Josiah.
What's going on, Joe? What's going on, Joe, Kyle, and Hugh? Can y'all hear me?
We got you, Josiah. What's up, man?
All right, man. So first things first, man, I want to ask you all a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about Jalen, we've been talking about KP, but are we sure if Nick Sirianni is the coach for the future? Let me ask you a question, Joe. Before you answer that, let me ask you, Joe. If your boss come to you and ask you, hey, for the show to have success, don't talk. Let you talk, let Kyle produce, and Joe, just don't say nothing. Your job will be in question, right, Joe?
Yeah, I would not feel secure. Yeah, Josiah, I would not feel secure as a talk show host if they wanted me to talk a lot less. That wouldn't be great. Yep.
1,000%, Joe, 1,000%, right? And when the years that we have had success with Nick Sirianni, where he's literally been told, hey, get out of the offensive room. Don't go in the defensive room. Go downstairs. Go to the office.
Is that what he was told?
You know what I'm saying? Go work out. That's what he's been told. In the years that we've had success with this guy. Right, and then we've also been talking about the window and whole 9 yards, right? Every time if we bring in the next offensive coordinator, we bring in, if he has any relative success, guess what? Teams are going to come close. Like the Eagles' offensive coordinator, is the biggest stepping stone, is the biggest finesse to get a head coaching job. And Joe, you was talking about Jalen Hurts yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not off the hook too. But the reason why I hold out hope for him is because we've seen him have success,
yep,
and we've seen him win, right, when he's been guided and he has had the right coaching, Joe. If you look at the NFL, majority of quarterbacks have limitations. Majority of quarterbacks aren't – you have 5 to 7 quarterbacks who are what I call Superman quarterbacks, superhero quarterbacks, right? The rest need guidance. What's Brock Purdy without Kyle Shanahan? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he would not be the same without Shanahan. I agree. Yep, yep.
1,000%, Joe. So I just think that looking at it from the overall grand scheme of things, right, when you look at the CEO-style head coach, right, when he cannot pick his own staff, he's a liability. We cannot have a liability. If we want to have the sustained success we need, we cannot have a liability at head coach. Jalen has shown when he's been guided, he can win, right? Offensive coordinators, when they come in, they win, and they go and they get jobs and they succeeded. Kellen Moore found his quarterback, and the guy who there was a 25-year-old guy who nobody thought was good.
Tyler Shuck.
Tyler Shuck. look at Daniel Jones.
I'm trying to tell y'all.
Look at it. Come on, man.
Yeah, so I hear you, and it's a good phone call. But that's also part of the reasoning why I just want to find the best coach.
Well, you know,
I mean, like, I can't. Now, also part of this is, are we marrying this thing with Sirianni wants? Or also, is this guy just his own offense?
That's why I think that last point he made contradicts his entire thing. We get a guy in here that's the best offensive mind, yeah. Right? We're talking about changing the offense. The offense looks different. That's this guy's offense. We know that's not Sirianni's offense. Mm-hmm. Then what happens? It looks good. Best case scenario. They're gone.
See, aren't we on that anyway?
But then we have to get but in this scenario, it's the same offense. No. I'm saying in this scenario, we're bringing in a guy that can run the Sirianni offense. Yeah. It's been the same offense. In this case, in this fantasy world we're living in, we're getting a new offense every year. That's going to be even worse for Jalen.
I think you're stuck.
But we're there anyway. I mean, I just think we're there anyway.
When you hear new offense,
5 years, five coordinators.
When you hear new offense, I think that kind of makes you a little nervous. Am I right?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about like a West Coast thing Shanahan runs,
okay,
where Jalen has to play in structure and on time, that's not going to work.
Well, put it like this.
Can we get real?
When I think about,
I just want a good coach. I don't want someone that's just catering to a guy that might not even run anymore.
When I think about new offenses, I guess I don't see it the way you see it. Now, you're right. There are different offenses where there's timing offenses and you get the ball out quick.
Yeah, right.
But the terminology to me is the biggest difference. Like, all the offenses are similar. And you cater to your quarterback skill set by the menu that you have. But when I think of a new offense, Kyle, you can run the same offense, but just run different variations, run different pass patterns, run more crossing routes, do more motion and things like that.
I think it's a volatile situation because right now we have.
Okay, so but this is what you. Okay, this is how I see it, and let me maybe I can help you out a little bit. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we don't do a whole lot of is motion, right?
Yes.
When we got who was it? Kellen Moore. Mm-hmm. He was known for doing a lot of motion,
and we still didn't do much.
And then we didn't do motion.
Well, we did some, but not a lot.
We did a little bit of motion. So
right, but why? And then we won the Super Bowl.
That's the point. But listen, this is the point that I'm getting to. We have become stagnant. Who was it when Dan Orlovsky was out there talking about? We ran 8 plays in that last drive, and 4 of them were similar pass routes. We need to. When I think of a new offense, you can have the same offense, but you put different wrinkles by having people run different routes. The quarterback has to pick up on.
We've been stagnant. The difference was we could run the ball effectively.
Because
the O-line was healthy and Saquon was like on a mission.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you this. It's a good chance. It's a strong possibility that we've seen the best of Saquon Barkley.
It's a strong possibility.
It's a strong possibility of that. So that dog that we went to the Super Bowl with, that's a different dog.
I agree.
We ain't got that dog no more.
What we need is a new offense.
So, exactly.
All right, you want my list here? I got 5 names for you, Hugh Douglas. You ready for this?
Yes.
My power rank is, and there's a lot of names out there. I mean, the 5 I give you, you probably heard these names, obviously. But there's probably going to be 10 more names that you might hear someone else say or read just because there's a lot of candidates. And I don't know how long this is going to take for the Eagles because there's now 9 head coaching openings, right? So a lot of these guys who are going to interview for head coaching jobs, they're not going to want to be coordinators or they're going to be head coaches, so we might have to wait on that. And then if defensive guys get these jobs, they might want to take some of these people to go become offense coordinators with them. So I don't know where this market's going, but these are the 5 names that I wrote down as my 5 biggest candidates for the Eagles offense coordinator position. Number 1, it's Mike McDaniel. Hugh, I don't know if he is truly a head coach. He's kind of a quirky personality, but I think that guy's smart. I mean,
Capri pants.
I don't think Tua Tagovailoa is very talented. I really don't. And he got a lot out of him, and they ran the football. He comes from the Shanahan tree. He was with him for years. He was
very innovative.
Smart guy. We want the run game to get back. His specialty is run game coordinator. That's what he kind of built his career on. Mike McDaniel's number one for me. Number two is Todd Monken.
I need to write these down.
I'll keep the note here. We could copy. You don't have to worry about writing down. Todd Monken's number two. I thought the job he did with Lamar Jackson, and Lamar is super talented, but Lamar had a great year in 2019, won the MVP, and then he started to fall down a little bit, right? And I thought he helped Lamar become a better pocket quarterback and better thrower of the football. When I watched Ravens games the last few years, this year not so much withstanding because they had injuries, I saw guys wide open, and he didn't have skill players other than Derrick Henry to the level of Saquon and Devontae. I think Todd Monken's a smart guy. He worked with Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland. He worked with Jameis Winston, so he's worked with different kinds of quarterbacks in terms of pocket guys, runners. He was at Georgia Hugh, I think, around the time that you were still down there in Atlanta.
Todd Monken, yeah.
And won, he's part of a national championship coaching staff in college football. And if we want a Vic Fangio type that probably is not going to leave, Todd Monken's 59 years old. I don't think people are going to hire Todd Monken to be an NFL head coach. I like him. He's number two on my list. Number three is Kevin Stefanski. If you win Coach of the Year twice in Cleveland, you have to be pretty darn good. And I thought he did a good job in Minnesota as a coordinator before he got that job. He's number three. Number four is Cliff Kingsbury. Now, that would probably lean more towards the fix hurts more than sustainability. But I thought the job he did last year with Jaden Daniels as a rookie was big-time stuff. And then number five is a name, maybe it's not a big name out there yet, but I think it's going to be soon. Nate Shielhouse is the pass game specialist for the Rams. He's been with McVay, and one of his jobs has been over the last couple of years, he draws the plays up for McVay. And people that have done that for McVay before were Liam Cohen and were Zach Taylor. So like that job, you become an offensive-minded head coach pretty darn quickly. McVay at one point did it for Shanahan. The Eagles interviewed Shielhouse when they hired Brian Johnson. So obviously there's some sort of connection. They already like this guy. Those are my top five. McDaniel one, Todd Monken two, Stefanski three, Kingsbury four, Shielhouse five. One name I did not include, Hugh. I'm not a Brian Daboll guy. I know he's got a history with Hurts. I know he has a history with Sirianni. They worked together in Kansas City. It just strikes me as too much hothead on that sideline. He is very emotional. Sirianni's very emotional. I don't know, man. I think the Daboll thing is oil and water.
I think all of those coaches that you name, when you start talking about bringing in your own offensive philosophy and everything, that there's a chance that it's going to not work well with Coach Sirianni. You know, because now.
But doesn't that have to work well?
The coaching staff's got to be on the same page. But I think that what's going to happen, and I'm all for it. Let me say this, too. I'm all for it because I think that there needs to be a shakeup here. But you open the door up for okay, whose offense is what? How successful is this offense? I think this comes down to be honest, challenging the quarterback. I think the quarterback needs to be challenged. I think the quarterback has gotten a little comfortable. The quarterback's successful. And this is not me throwing shade on him, but something has to change. And when you talk about the missteps of this offense over the past 3 years, now, you put a Super Bowl in there. You got to change something. I think he needs to be challenged.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they do it. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to all this, should they hire someone to fix Jalen and get the most out of Jalen Hurts or just find the best offensive mind? If Jalen fits, he fits. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Elliot joins us next. We'll get his take on all this and all the questions about this job the Eagles have to answer as they go through the hiring process. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.